tonight. We want to thank each one of you for being here tonight. And we've got over 80 cast, choir, and crew that have worked to make this happen tonight. We're thankful that you're here tonight. We put a lot of time into this, weeks and actually months of preparation for this. And so we're excited that you've come tonight. You know, it's exciting to do a program like this. It's more exciting when there's somebody watching it, too, you know. So we're thankful that you're here. You play a big part in this tonight. And our prayer tonight, as we were just praying back there, the Lord has given each one of us gifts that we can use. But honestly, the Lord can do whatever He wants to do, but we're thankful that He wants to use us, and He's given us this opportunity to do our best with the gifts that He's given us. So I'm thankful that you're here tonight, and I'm thankful for these wonderful people, all the drama folks and others that are around making this possible tonight. Would you help me by standing tonight? We're going to start the service with a word of opening prayer tonight. Would you just stand with me tonight, and let's open the service in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, I thank You so very much for the opportunity we have to be in Your house tonight, Lord. This is going to be a different Sunday night than we normally have at this church, Lord, but I thank You for each one that's come tonight. Lord, I thank You for all the people who have dedicated themselves and worked very hard, Lord, to put this on tonight. And I thank You, Lord, and pray that You will use this in a special way in each one of our lives tonight, Lord. Maybe each one of us perhaps in a different way, Lord. There may be some here tonight that are hearing about this Christ child, the plan of salvation for the very first time, Lord. What a special opportunity that this would be for them tonight, Lord, to not reject, as they're going to see in just a moment, but accept and have room in their heart for Jesus Christ, Lord, most greatest gift that's ever been given. Lord, I thank You and pray You'd help us to do our very best tonight. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We trust that you'll enjoy what we like to call the Promised One.
of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was.
One.
Very good. Now help me move this food over the cooking fire. Ugh. Lately, I declare, you have been the one eating everything we bring into this house.
Mother says I'm a growing boy. Father, are we going to use all of the rooms?
Why, yes. And I only wish that we had more rooms to use. More rooms mean more people. And more people means...
an overcrowded inn.
No, Josiah. More rooms mean more people. And more people mean more money. More money. I tell you what, one day you will learn to value the important things as I do. Money. You understand?
Why are so many people interested in coming to Bethlehem all of a sudden?
Well, it's not their choice, I'll grant you. Caesar has commanded it.
Commanded what, Father?
Well, he's commanded that a census be taken of his entire empire. No doubt for tax purposes, I'm sure. But I'm sure he also wants to keep an eye on the descendants of King David. You do understand that the line of David registers here.
In the city of David?
Brilliant! But I'm sure he also wants to brag about the number of subjects he rules over as well.
Sounds like a big proud man.
Proud? Why, of course he's proud. And why wouldn't he be? Ah, have a seat, Josiah. Look here on this coin. Whose image is this?
Why, it is great Caesar himself.
Yes, it is. Now, give me the coin back. Listen, Caesar is a man worthy of worship and tribute. We can see his wealth, his fame, and his fortune everywhere that we look. We can only hope to be like him. Do you understand, son?
I think so.
Well, we have much work to do. Enough talk.
And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
I'm finished, Father. The stray sheep are returned unsafe, and there's wood for the evening fire. The sheep are finally settled.
Good, son. Then I think we should set out for the night, too.
That's great news. The sheep are just stubborn and foolish.
They are. They have a mind, just like we do.
What do you mean?
Well, you've heard the reading the great prophet Isaiah say, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have led everyone to their own way, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We bring few sheep back home, but the Lord always brings us back. He is, indeed, a good shepherd."
God's flock is big and scattered. How does he keep up with each one?
I'm sure he knows them all by their names. Look at the stars, son. Our own King David once said, "He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names."
Wow, that's amazing. It makes me feel so small. I'm thankful the God who created all these knows my name.
Son, let's go check on that new little sheep of ours.
Thank you.
into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn.
Father, why did you turn that cup away? You look so weary. The woman is going to have a baby.
We have no more rooms. It was generous of me to allow you to use a stable. Is that not true?
I suppose so. Could they not just use Abigail's room? Sure, my sister would give it to them freely.
Giving up her room is one thing, but your sister will keep her room for now.
What do you mean, for now?
Well, a situation of great need may arise which would require the use of Abigail's room.
What need is greater than a woman who's going to have a baby?
Josiah, those people had very little money. Now, this may seem harsh to you, but sometimes in life, we just have to make difficult choices. If someone were to come along and need lodging and had sufficient money, well.
So you turned them away because they had little money?
Yes, because they have little money. And that is all the reason I need. We must pay for all this somehow. You do enjoy having a place to live in, food to eat, do you not? Our need is great also.
Could we not just give them one room as a free gift?
There is no such thing as a free gift, Josiah. No man just freely gives of his means. There's always a payment involved.
May I at least take them some bread and water?
No! We only have enough bread for ourselves and for our paying guests.
And they shall have my share.
Do what you want with your share. But I don't want to hear you complaining later, "Oh, I'm hungry."
Oh,
we're travelers, perhaps. Well, we certainly do. In fact, you just come right this way and we will get your room ready. You just step right in here and I'll be right with you, fine young ladies. Josiah, wake your sister. Prepare her room immediately. We have some needy guests joining us tonight.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Is born.
100% clearly either, son. But Prophet Isaiah says that a child will be born, and he won't be ordinary. His name to be Emmanuel, God with us.
You mean God's coming down to be born as a baby?
Yes, that's what he says, and God always keeps his promises.
Well, when will this happen?
We don't know exactly when, but we do know where.
Where?
Right over there in Bethlehem. The prophet Micah says so.
But our small town is already overcrowded because of the census. When Messiah is born, the whole world will want to come here and worship him.
You would think so, son. But not all look for the Emmanuel's coming. You and I will look for him, as my father taught me to look for him, as did his father. Your grandfather and I used to sing a little song together. Sing it with me, son.
The little Lord Jesus,
just no crying,
he makes the darling Lord Jesus.
Great-grandfather would have loved to see him. I would love to see him. But if not, you must teach your son to look for the Christ coming. Even so, Lord, Please come quickly.
Father! Father! What is happening? What is this light?
I see a man. No, it cannot be a man. I don't know, son.
Are we going to die? Will they kill us?
Lord, please help us.
Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Yes, God has sent them to tell us that Christ is here. Emmanuel has come.
Father, the child, he is here. The child, he is here. Let us go find the child.
Hundreds and hundreds of years have we waited. Thousands of sacrifices have been offered. But now, you and I, Jonathan, will see Christ's son face to face. It's almost too wonderful to believe.
Father, the child! Please, the child!
Yes, yes!
Yes, the child!
We must go see the child!
The child! He is here! Hurry! Hurry! Please!
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
happening?
In the stable, the baby!
Oh, don't tell me this woman delivered a child in my stable.
She did, Father. This is no ordinary child.
Is the child all right?
Yes, he is perfect.
No doubt the animals are disturbed and scattered from the stable. Oh, the guests are going to be highly upset.
Father, the child, it is him.
It is who? You are talking nonsense, son.
It is Emmanuel, the Messiah, the promised one. The shepherds told me. They saw them and heard them. The angels, I mean.
Shepherds? Angels? What are you talking about?
The shepherds were here at the stable. The Christ is born in Bethlehem, as the prophets foretold. He was born in our stable.
I am aware of what the prophets have said. He will not be born in a stable. He is to be a leader far more powerful and greater than Caesar. He will not be born in a cattle stall. This is foolishness. These troublemaking shepherds must be gone, and I will hear no more of this matter.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds.
My grandfather and great-grandfather would have been so joyful to see this day. And you and I have seen him, Jonathan. We have worshipped the Promised One.
Father, all the people will want to hear this. Surely the men will want to hear this. This is great news.
Yes, we will tell them. We will tell them all this good news. Everyone should hear this. Come on, shepherds, let us go spread this news. Have you heard? Christ is come.
Have you heard? The Christ is here. Have you heard?
He's here.
Yes.
Have you heard? The Christ has come.
The Christ has come.
So, let's check the inn. There will be many here.
I have no room.
Sir, we do not need one.
What now?
Sir, have you heard the news? The Christ is here, the promised one.
Father, these are the shepherds I spoke of.
Ah, yes. The dreaming shepherds disturbing all of Bethlehem about this child in my stable.
In your stable? And you must know. You must have seen him too.
I have not, and nor do I intend to.
Father!
Listen. This baby is a poor child like any other child. Millions are born like him. This is foolishness. You shepherds, go and spread your falsehoods elsewhere. Perhaps your sheep will listen to your prophecies. Now off with you.
But sir.
Come, Josiah.
Father.
Come.
Why would that man refuse to consider the good news? How are people be made for God to be born in a stable?
I don't know, son. But God chose it for his own reasons. The angels told us that he was the promised one, and we believed him. Although he was born in the lowest, in a stable, he will rise to be the greatest king the world will ever know. Though he was born in the lowest, he will rise to be the highest. Perhaps there is just no room in this man's inn.
Father, I have room. Father, I have room in my heart.
Bethlehem's song was
shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Father, the angels told the shepherds. I believe them.
Of course you believe them, son. You have the foolish faith of a child.
You believe them, too. You just talk. The father and mother, they tell great things concerning the child.
Talk to them? I will not. I have more important things to do and no time for such tales. There are poor babies born to poverty-stricken parents every day, and I have no desire to be one of them. So, let's get back to work.
Father! But what of Christ?
The shepherd said there's room in his heart. The innkeeper just rejected. But as the final song tonight, let us ask this question. But what of Christ? No rest or comfort for the child. No pillow soft to lay his head. The Lord of all was turned away to rugged, lowly manger bed. Savior's love and mock his holy precious day. Their hearts of doubt he stands to save and calms their sinful souls to
Son, he will arise. the thought there expressed at the end. What of Christ? What of Christ? That's a question we all must ponder, isn't it? And wasn't that a fantastic performance tonight? It was fantastic. We'll get a chance in just a minute to show them our appreciation. But for just a moment, would you consider in your heart, in your heart of hearts, but what of Christ? How does this Christmas story connect with me? How does what happened 2,000 years ago relate to me? You know, there's something about the Christmas story we all love. Shepherds, angels, baby. Who doesn't love a story about a baby? In a manger, kind of the rural setting. Well, we all love that, but the meaning is far, far deeper. Because you see, this babe in the manger was the Son of God. He was God Himself. Came down from heaven's glory to be born amongst men, that He might solve men's greatest need, and the greatest need of man's heart is eternal life in His relationship with God the Father. He was truly God's gift to us. He was the promised one, as the title of our cantata said there tonight, our program. That is, He was prophesied for years, over 400 prophecies in the Old Testament related to Christ. The tabernacle with its altar pointed to Christ and a way to God. All these things, sacrifices. Year after year, the sacrifices that were offered on the altar to pay for man's sin of lambs and bulls and goats only really pointed to the one true sacrifice, Jesus Christ, whom John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You know, He wants to take away your sin. He wants to take away my sin. And the Jesus Christ that was born in that little manger 2,000 years ago is still alive. In fact, He died on the cross. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again. He's in heaven today, still living, and still wanting you to come to Him in that relationship that you might have eternal life. You see, Jesus lived a perfect life, a pure life. He healed the sick, raised the dead, fed the hungry. The list goes on and on. But the most important thing about His life was that He died. And His death is the most important thing. Isn't it amazing that we celebrate a birth, but really the birth is not the most important thing. The most important thing is this man died. You say, well, how could that be? How could it be? Not that He died, but how could that be the most important thing? Because as God the Father looked down as He hung on that cross, God the Father saw Him as the sacrifice for mankind's sin. You see, we're all sinners. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we must pay the penalty for our sin. If we don't pay the penalty for our sin, then if we don't accept Christ, then we will pay our penalty for our sin ourselves. So Jesus Christ, with His death on the cross, paid the way. But there's one thing left. We must accept. And it's so vividly portrayed tonight. One accepted, and that was a boy, and his father. He said, I have room in my heart for him. The innkeeper, whom we probably suppose did not have room in his heart, as the scripture says in Luke 2, verse 7, says she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. What? Because there was no room for them in the inn. And I probably imagine, too, that innkeeper probably did not have room in his heart. Can I ask you a question? Do you have room in your heart for the Savior? Do you have room in your heart for Jesus? Have you ever had room in your heart? You see, it only takes one time where we, by faith, realizing our sin, and by faith recognizing Christ's sacrifice on the cross as the payment for our sin, that one time, we acknowledge that. And we reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart and save my soul. We open our heart. He will. And He'll give you eternal life. And as a song sung, He'll give you an abundant life that you can never imagine.
Amen.
If you've never done that, would you tonight? Oh, it's our heart plea. And we're here for you tonight that you would accept the Savior. Is there room in your heart for Him? The questions asked tonight, but what of Christ? Let's bow in prayer, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you the most important question you will ever get asked in your life. Do you know Christ? Why is that the most important? Because it's the most important. Because eternity hangs in the balance. See, you have a soul. And that soul is going to spend an eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in a place called hell. And this is the truth, folks. Because the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And we must make a decision about the Lord Jesus. If we do not accept Him, we reject Him. And we all must, at one point in our life, call upon the Lord Jesus to save us. I'm wondering here in the quietness of this moment, I'm going to pray in just a minute, but in the quietness of this moment, would you say, that's me? God's been dealing with my heart, and I need to get it right. You might be a young person. You might be a grandma, grandpa, mom, dad. Say, that's me. Could you do me? No one's looking around. We're all praying right now. Eyes are closed. Would you just slip your hand up? There might be many people across this room here tonight. Would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I'm not sure about this eternal life. I'm not even sure I understand what it all means about how to be saved. But I'd like you to pray for me. I just want to pray. Would you just do that a second? Just so I can see you. Just raise your hand up. Just long enough I can see you so that I can remember you in my prayer. Anyone at all? Here's what we're going to do in just a minute before we leave tonight. I want to give what's called an invitation. And I'm not going to make you even come forward. Right? We're going to make it easy tonight. We have counselors in the back. And in just a minute, we're going to stand. And as the instruments play, would you just slip out of your seat? People next to you will be glad to let you go by. And you can leave tonight, talk to a counselor, and get it settled. No better time than the present. And if you've been battling with this, the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, can I encourage you just to get that settled? Would you please stand with me for just a minute? Just stand right there where you're at in your seats. Just stand up. Counselors, if you would go on to the back, please. And as the music plays, if God's dealing with your heart, would you just slip out? Christians praying, keep your head bowed and eyes closed, please, for the privacy of others who might be responding. Is it you? Is God speaking to your heart tonight? You might have lived in a Christian home all your life and never made this decision. Christmas season would be the perfect time. This might be the first time you've ever heard it. Maybe it's the first time you've heard it in a long time. Would you respond? You know, you can respond in the quietness of your heart by simply praying and asking Jesus, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I realize that that sin is keeping me from an eternal life with you. But I believe you that Jesus died in my place. And right now, as best I know how, I want to accept you as my Savior. Come into my life and save me from my sins and give me eternal life, and He will. You know, if you prayed that prayer, we'd like to talk to you and just share and rejoice with you that you've done that. We'll just play just a little more. If anyone would like to respond, just slip out and we'll give you a chance. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for the clear presentation of the birth of Christ and what it means to us today. Thank you, Lord, for the emphasis on our response to you, because truly that is what all that matters. You came and left heaven's glory so that we might be saved. So that we can be saved from our sins, God became man. And that relates today to us today just as much as it did 2,000 years ago. May we not turn the Savior away like the innkeeper did. May we respond as the young boy did, his father, as depicted. Lord, may we truly have room in our hearts. As Christians, may we worship you today in a more real and powerful way than we ever had. And we'll give you the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated just for a minute. I have certainly enjoyed singing with this choir, and haven't they done a great job? Let's just give them a round. All right, and I'm going to ask if all the drama people can come back out here. Anyone that participated in drama, come back out. Come on, wherever you're hiding. All right. We've got the innkeeper. And you know, he's not really that mean. Is that right? All right. Hey, they all did a great job. Can we give him a round? And a big thank you to Steve Smith and to all these people that helped with the children. Children did great, didn't they? I love watching the children, these things. Those that decorated, I mean, we had a host. The church just came together, and it seemed like so many people participated in this. We're so grateful for that. In just a minute, I'm going to turn it over, and we're especially thankful for Pastor Jeff Neal and his wife, Judy, and just overseeing this whole program and their heart to just put this together and be an outreach to the community. We've had great crowds both nights. I've just been overwhelmed by the amount. And church folks, thank you for bringing people out. God bless you for that. Two quick announcements, church announcements, okay? Then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Jeff Neal. Number one, this is a Sunday night. Some people may want to give. We do have offering plates in the back. If we do not, I'm going to let the ushers just put them on a chair there somewhere. They're there. Okay, great. If you'd like to give, visitors, don't feel like you have to, but if you'd like to give, you're welcome to. And then number two, we did have a little vote this morning on our deacons. Steve Smith and Bill Carball have been chosen, and so God bless you for desiring to serve there. That's all the church things I'm going to mention, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Jeff Neal. Thank you so much.